This morning's reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him counsel? Whom did he consult? And whom made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compares with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts it for silver chains. He who is too improvised for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these things. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us pray. Father, we come before you as the God who created all things. We come to you as the God who needs no counsel from us. We come to you as the God who brings out the starry host every night, knows each of them by name, not a single one is missing. We come to you, the God who chose to create us in your image and in your likeness, called us to yourself. And we come this morning to praise your name as the creator, God of the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Father, we also come to you and say that you, the creator, are so good. For in our brokenness, you came into your own creation so that you might live and die and rise again to save us. There is no other God like this. And so we come to you this morning to praise you, to honor you, to glorify you, and thank you for not only creating us, but for redeeming us by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we come before you this morning and we lay our hearts before you and we praise you for gathering us and giving us the freedom to gather in a place like this. Lord, we thank you for our nation that allows us to worship you openly and freely. And we pray for those in leadership that you would give them godly counsel and wisdom, that, Lord, that you would protect our nation. And, Lord, thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And as we pray for our nation, Lord, we pray that the gospel of the Lord Jesus would run like wildfire. Lord, that people's hearts would be turned towards you, and that we would lift up our eyes to the Lord, from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. And that upon our lips and tongues, we would take the name of Jesus, and we would proclaim him as King and Lord. Father, I ask now that you would also be with those of our congregation, Lord, who would be here, but they can't be because whether it's physical reasons or other reasons, Lord, we especially pray for Miss Jenny Morton, that you would put your hand of blessing upon her, and thank you for taking care of her. Be with Paul as he cares for her and is faithful to her. Lord, I pray that you would be also with Mr. Gordon Wooster and continue to heal his body. And thank you for the many improvements that you have been able to work in his life. And I ask that you would continue to bless him. Lord, we know that there are many that would be here and they can't. And we ask that your hand of blessing, many who are traveling, and we ask for traveling mercies upon them. And Father, we want to think about the missionaries that we support this morning, the Tangubs in the Philippines, Joe and Don Lee here in New Mexico. We pray, Lord, for those that we love, Jordan and Hannah, and in East Asia. Lord, we pray for Luke and Karen up in Utah, and we ask that your hand of protection and blessing would be upon them. And Lord, I ask that this Christmas season, that they would have many people come and visit their ministries. And Lord, that hearts would be turned to Jesus Christ. We ask for people to be saved from their sin. Lord, so we ask that your hand of blessing would be upon them. And thank you for the privilege of being able to Lord, support them in their ministry. Father, I ask now that as we walk into your text this morning, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear wonderful things from your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And as you're taking your seat, I'd ask that you would take a copy of Scripture and turn it over to the book of John. We are making our way. We're taking a little break from our regular study through the book of Matthew and taking the Advent season, the beginning last week and culminating at Christmas. And we're walking our way through the prologue of John. That's the first 18 verses. And last week, we went through the first 4 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you would, allow me to read this passage of Scripture again before we step into it, just so that we have an understanding of what John is saying here. So I'm going to begin in verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 1, and I'm going to read down to verse 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me because He was before me. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known." Let us pray. Father, we come and ask that You would take this text of Scripture, this text of Your holy Word, and Lord, I pray that You would open up our hearts, open up the eyes of our hearts, open up our ears to hear and see the truth that You have given to us. And my prayer is this morning, Lord, that our hearts would once again be turned to Jesus Christ, the Word who was made flesh. And Lord, that we might hear what You have to say to us this morning. Father, I ask that You would take me, forgive me of my sin. Lord, and let Jesus come forward in the power of the Holy Spirit and to proclaim His Word to His people this morning. Restore our souls, Lord, I ask. Draw us near to You. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Light of the world, You came down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. That's a song, the opening words to a song written by Chris Tomlin. Here I come to worship. Here I come to bow down. Here I come to say that You are my God. And these words really do capture where we left off last week. Verses 4 and 5 of chapter 1. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, if you remember, last week we asked the question, whose birth do we celebrate at Christmas? And the answer is Jesus. And then we ask, who is Jesus? And John told us from these verses, Jesus is the Christ, the Word who was in the beginning with God and who was God. Jesus is the Christ who created all things, and Jesus is the Christ who is the fountain of life and light. Now, with that said, who Jesus is, John takes us all the way back to the very beginning, the beginning of all beginnings, and out of eternity past, here comes Jesus out of eternity past and meets us as the Word of God. Now, if some people were asked, what are the most profound words ever written by men, some would say this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Think about the weight of that, especially in light of what we learned last week. The Word was God. The Word is the Creator. The Word is the fountain of life and light. And you are saying that the Word became flesh? Yes, perhaps those are the most profound words ever penned by mankind. But this is the question that strikes us this morning. If this is the case, that the Word did become flesh, that the light actually stepped into darkness, how are we supposed to know when that happened in history? How are we supposed to know when the light begins to dawn in the darkness? It's interesting that John begins by taking us to eternity past. And then in just a few short verses, he writes these words: "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." He takes us from eternity past and brings us right back down to earth. He introduces that point in when heaven and earth touch. And in so doing, he answers our question. How are we supposed to know when the light will begin to dawn in the darkness? The answer: there was a man sent by God, and his name is John. That's when you will know that the light has begun to dawn in the darkness. That is the question we want to answer and explore this morning. We want to look at John, the one that we know as John the Baptist, or probably better translated, John the one who baptizes, John the Baptizer. So think about our questions. Who do we celebrate at Christmas? It is Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the Word made flesh. How will we know when the light in the life begins to dawn? And the answer is the man, John. It's my prayer this morning that by the time we finish, I want you to take heart that God did it this way. Let us begin to look at the man, John the Baptist. Christ comes forward out of eternity past, and that is the beginning of the Christmas story, is it not? But now we look at the moment when heaven and earth begin to touch. And how does this gospel do it? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. It's very interesting that when we begin to look at the life of Jesus on earth and his ministry, every gospel in telling the story of Jesus begins with another person. Matthew, when Jesus comes, baptized by John the Baptist. Luke even begins by telling the story of the birth of a man, and it's not Jesus, it's John. Mark, as we said, hits the ground running and never stops from there. We find Jesus at the Jordan River, and who's there? John the Baptist. And here in the Gospel of John, we find there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Every time Jesus' story is told, someone comes before Jesus, and who is it? It is John the Baptist. Why is that? Why does God do it that way? Well, let's take a little look at this man known as John the Baptist. He will be the one that marks the moment in history that the light begins to dawn in the darkness of this world. Now, if we take a look at John's life, Luke is the one who gives us the early history. And in Luke, we read of a man by the name of Zechariah, and he is a priest, and he is married to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is without child. And as Zechariah is ministering in the temple, the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah and tells John a message. Back in Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. Allow me to read what the angel said to Zechariah. And there appeared to him, Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, of course, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." That is the message that the angel of the Lord gave to Zechariah as he was ministering in the temple. And from that message, we learn that Elizabeth's going to have a child, and his name's going to be John, and from birth, he's going to be set apart as the one that goes before the Lord to announce his coming and to prepare a people. So here we have John set apart from birth to prepare a people for the Lord. So what would mark the beginning of when light begins to dawn in the darkness, just like John in John chapter 1, verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Divinely appointed, God ordained, forerunner, messenger, the light is about to come. Now, not only do we learn of his birth, the man, John, but we also learn something else. Look with me again, John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent by God. Not only is he going to be born, but he is one sent by God. Not only a man with a ministry, but with a purpose to mark the coming of the light into the world. Now here's the amazing truth. John the Baptist, sent by God, but not only is he sent by God, but through the prophets of God, for centuries past, God said, "I'm going to do it this way." Think about that for a second. How will we know when light is about to dawn in the Lord, in the world? God said, hundreds of years ago, "I'll send a messenger to tell you." And here's the cool thing. Every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when they begin to talk about John the Baptist, always quote the same text, Isaiah 40, verses 3 and 4. John is the fulfillment of Isaiah 40, verses 3 and 4. Look here in the Gospel of John when that happens. Verse 19, John the Baptist is doing his ministry down by the Jordan River, and they send some people to ask John the Baptist some questions. I'll begin reading in verse 19. "And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they ask him, 'What then, are you Elijah?' And he says, 'I am not. Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' So they said to him, 'Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?'" Here's the key. What will John the Baptist say about himself? Verse 23, he said, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said," end quote. What is John the Baptist saying? Here they are. "Who are you? What are you doing this for?" And he turns and looks and he quotes Isaiah and he says, 600 years ago, the prophet of God wrote that he would send a messenger to proclaim the way of the Lord before he came, and I am he. The messenger that lets you know that the light is dawning in the world right now. Take a moment, flip over to Isaiah 40, the one that we read just a few minutes ago, and look at the context and look at what will happen. Look at verse 3, and this is the quote that John the Baptist does directly. Now, here's a good rule of thumb. Anytime you find an Old Testament scripture in the New Testament, treat it like a hyperlink in the internet, okay? So you see it, and you say, oh, there's an Old Testament quote. Just see it in blue, okay? And double-click on it, and open up the Old Testament to see the context of what it says. So Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And the text in verses 4 goes on to say, you know, the mountains, they're going to be brought low, the valleys brought up, the rough places made smooth. I am making a way for the Lord to come. Now, I want you to watch something real close. When the messenger comes, as predicted by Isaiah, what will happen after that? Look at verse 5 in Isaiah 40 for me. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, I want you to capture that in your mind. The glory of the Lord is going to be revealed after the messenger comes and proclaims his message. Now, go back to John chapter 1, real quick with me, and think about verse 6. There's a man sent by God. His name is John. Now, run over to verse 14 and look what happens when he comes. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his what? Have we heard that already? Isaiah 40 said that is exactly what's going to happen. When the messenger comes and proclaims light in the darkness, then you will see the glory of the Lord. And look here in John, it begins to happen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the question is, what are we going to do with that? Take a moment right now. Ponder the wisdom and the goodness of God. Not only did he send his Son into the world, but he sent someone before so that you would know that God had declared this, decreed it, spoken it by his prophets, and when this moment in history comes, you will know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is Christ the Lord. That's how good God is. Not only does he send his Son, but he prepares the way for him. How important is John the Baptist? So important that we are ready to receive the Lord as God's people. So take heart, my friend, that God has ordained all of this from beginning to end. So now, after looking at the man, John the Baptist, we need to take a moment and not only look at his person, but his mission. And this is found in verses 7 and 8. So allow me to read those for you. So John chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. He came, that is John, as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. You ever take a road trip? Perhaps you have, and perhaps you might see a sign on the side of the road. In fact, it is my favorite sign as I'm on a road trip. What sign is it? It's that sign that has the city, that's your destination, and the miles after it. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you're on vacation and you're heading to that place, you get to count down how long it's going to take to get to that place. And every time I'm looking for that sign, ooh, we're a little closer. And then you start doing math in your head, okay, if I'm 60 miles an hour and it's 60 miles away, it's an hour away, right? I think we all do that. Or it's also the sign that when you're on your way back home, you're counting down how long it will take for me to sleep in my own bed. It is a sign that points to the destination. It would be very wrong for you to see that sign, pull your car over, take the tent that you always keep in the trunk of your car there out, and just camp out under that sign because it has your city's name on it. That would not be the purpose of that sign. That sign is to point you to and tell you how far it is to the place that you need to go. Well, John the Baptist is like that sign. He is not the thing that you stop and focus on. He is pointing you to something else. Just like verse 7 says, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light. He was not the light. He's always pointing to something else. Now, when you think about that, what is he actually doing? I love John the Baptist because he is always receding and allowed Jesus to come forward. Look here at verses 24, 25, 26. Now these people, now remember, they're questioning John the Baptist, verse 25. They ask him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? And John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to undo. Can you imagine that? You come asking me questions, but I'm telling you, it's not about me. There's someone else. And he's so great that I can't bend down and unstrap his sandal strap. Over in John chapter 3, they continue to ask John, you know, Jesus' ministry is growing. And you know the answer that he gives? He must increase. I must decrease. He's a sign pointing to something greater, the appetizer before the great feast. John's purpose is like the stars in the sky that are bright and twinkling at night. But when the sun begins to dawn in the east, the stars fade away to the glory of that glorious sun. He fades away and always points to Jesus. So we've asked the question, what's the purpose? What is the marker that we know that light is going to dawn in the world? And we say, God sent a man, and his name is John. And when he arrives, that is when you know that the light is beginning to dawn in the darkness. Now, we've also asked, well, what does he do? He points to someone greater than he is. That is his mission. Now, let's ask this question. Why? Why did God do it this way? Why did God ordain someone to come before the Christ to prepare the way? Once again, we get our answer from verse 7. He, John, came as a witness to bear witness about the light, and here's the why, that all might believe through him. Why? So that you and I, all the people through history, might on a day like today sit down and begin to think about what God has truly done, what he has decreed before the foundation of the world, what he declared through his prophets, and then what he brought about in history, that he set the pieces of the puzzle of salvation together so perfectly. And when you look and see that everything that God has said, he has done and more. He did this so that you might believe that Christ, Jesus, is the Son of God. And if you believe in him, you might have life in his name. God is good. God is great. And God is greatly to be praised. We have looked at the man, John the Baptist. We have looked at his mission to declare and bear witness to the light so that we might believe. And now let us take a moment to look at his message. I want you to imagine being there that day when those Jewish leaders were questioning John the Baptist about what he was doing. And the passage that we just read, let me read it again and put yourself there. You can feel the tension. And they ask him, "Why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize you with water, but among you stands one who you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." Now, imagine you're there by the River Jordan, and they're just pepper him with questions. And you see, there's a lot going on because John is doing a lot. Everybody's coming down to the Jordan River, and he is making a stir, and people are turning away from sin and to God, and they are being baptized, and it's causing such a stir that the leaders in Jerusalem send people to investigate what's going on. And when they get there, he tells them, "It's not me. There's someone else here, and you need to pay attention to him." And then the very next day, feel the weight. John the Baptist lifts up his eyes and he sees Jesus. And what comes out of his mouth? "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Do you see how powerful his witness is? Do you feel the weight and the importance of John the Baptist, who is fading into the background? And when he sees Jesus, he does his fullness of witness. He sees him and says, "Behold, there he is. That's the Lamb of God. He is the one that will take away the sins of the world." Friends, I'm going to ask you to take a moment to be very honest and transparent in your heart between you and God. And when you are, I want you to be transparent about what sin has done in our lives. Sin has done its work. It has bore its fruit, and each and every one of us bear the pox and the scars, the wounds of sin in our life. Words have come out of our mouths that can never come back, and we wish we had never said that. Decisions we have made that took us down a path that our feet can never retrace, and we should never be there. This tempers flared, and instead of being light to others, we are heat, and they have felt our burn. Sin is very, very real. And there is not a single one of us who has escaped the fruit, the scars, the pox of sin in our life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to be honest between you and God, between myself and God in this moment. I want you to tell him that you have sinned, to confess it, to admit it to him. And in that same moment, I want you to hear the words of John the Baptist. "Behold, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world." And friend, this is your invitation to take that which has scarred you and bore its fruit in your life and to lay it on him, Jesus, the Lamb of God. That is the Christmas story. The Word became flesh. Why? So that he could be the Lamb of God, to take your sin and die, to give his body and to shed his blood, so that we can be free of sin. So this morning, let us remember John the Baptist, the man, his mission, and his message. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And would you lay your sin upon him, draw close to him, and become a child of God through the precious blood of Jesus. Father, I come before you this morning, and I want to thank you. Thank you for the witness of John the Baptist to the gospel of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, a man who fades into the background and allows Jesus to shine in all of his glory, his might, and his life. Father, this morning I pray that those who have been burdened by sin, filled the scars and the pain in their hearts and lives, that they would lay that upon Jesus right now and allow him to take it to the cross, to be covered by his blood forever and ever. And Lord, I ask that Christians here today would again and anew look upon Jesus, his body and his blood, and Lord, to give you praise and honor and glory for loving us so much that you would rescue us by sending your son. Lord, we love you, and we want to worship you for all that you have done for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.